Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Therapists in the Wild. So if you remember back to last week, we were talking about how to distract using ACCEPTS as an acronym when you're in situations that either you kind of can't respond effectively in the moment, or that's just maybe not possible given the situation. And we also talked about one of our favorite skills, which is self-soothe. So I want to check in with you, Liza. Did you get a chance to practice either of those skills?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I practice a lot of these often. Distract probably more than is effective, as we talked about, right? We don't want to distract from our emotions usually, and sometimes I overuse it, I will admit. In terms of self-soothe, I don't know that it's really possible to over practice self-soothe. Do you? Can you think of a time when it would be ineffective?
Not really.
I mean, maybe like during if you're doing like exposure therapy or something.
Yes, that's a good point. Yeah. There are certain times when feeling the anxiety and allowing yourself to feel the anxiety is effective, so you can just learn that you can handle it.
Right.
But other than that, yeah. I mean, sometimes I practice self-soothe all day, every day.
Me too. Especially these days. I actually, the example I wanted to bring up on the podcast, because I thought that, you know, maybe this could help some of our listeners and also relate it to other things that we've talked about. So I was in the middle of a Zoom meeting the other day, and I started to feel invalidated, and I noticed that I was feeling invalidated, which was helpful in the moment to notice that's what was happening.
Always a helpful first step.
Exactly. And, you know, I kind of was like watching the biosocial theory that we've talked about play out in real time, where I started to feel invalidated, and then it made me kind of escalate. Like, it made my emotions get a lot more intense because of that invalidation. And so I wanted to, you know, I just was having these urges to like really express myself, really express my anger and the fact that I was feeling invalidated. And I was very much an emotion mind, and sort of noticed that doing that would not be the most effective in the moment. So I turned off my camera for just a second. I took that facial rose water spray that you gave me for my birthday, did a quick spritz on my face, turned my camera back on, and felt way less escalated, and then was able to kind of carry on in the meeting.
Wow. That is very effective.
I was proud of myself.
Yeah. I mean, what stands out to me when I hear you saying that is how much mindfulness was required to do that.
Yeah.
Be able to be aware of that process going on, where you're noticing that the other person's invalidating you. You notice those feelings coming up in you and those urges to escalate your behavior. And then you can kind of like, that's like how you can kind of change the chain of events. Like, you see it going down one path and you can veer it into another direction, but you have to kind of notice it first.
Exactly. And one thing that I was thinking is that I love that you described it as kind of a process of mindfulness, which is what it was. And I think almost having the spray on my desk, like, it's a nice pink color, it's sort of noticeable. Mm-hmm. I think it's almost like a cue to be mindful.
Oh, that's a great point. Yeah, we talked about that when we were talking about how to remember to do tip. Like, these skills are so great, but not if you don't use them. But then, like, how do you remember to actually use them? So yeah. I like that idea of just keeping them in a visible place and maybe even making them visually pleasing in some way.
Right, like a physical reminder. Yeah. How about you? How did you practice any of these skills?
You know, well, I feel like I practice all of them, but, and self-soothe specifically. And I had this thought over the last week of, like, you know, so many of us, myself definitely included, tend to self-soothe in ways that maybe aren't super effective all the time. Like, we're feeling dysregulated and we want to feel calmer, so we like numb out by scrolling on the internet, or, you know, using substances, or eating more than we feel, you know, would feel like healthy for us.
And that's like, so true. That is so true, that so many of us like instinctively self-soothe.
Yeah.
we're just not using the skill of self-soothe. And so it sometimes can have consequences that we don't like.
Exactly. Yeah. And exactly. That's what I was going to say, is like the consequence of, like, you know, for example, for myself, like I noticed myself kind of mindlessly scrolling on the internet, and that for me, it doesn't make me feel good. You know, I feel like I just wasted a bunch of time, like comparing myself to other people. Like, mm-hmm. it's just not something mm-hmm. that makes me feel good after I do it.
Your head hurts probably. Feel a little nauseous.
I'm on the screen all day, and then uh-huh. I'm spending more time on the screen. Like, it's not in line with my values of how I want to spend my time. Like, you know.
Also, you saw The Social Dilemma probably. So
yes.
not the most effective.
So a million reasons, and yet here, like, I still do it. So, you know, it was really helpful for me to take a step back and think about, like, what's the function of this behavior, or what purpose is this behavior serving for me? I'm doing it for a reason. I keep doing it. I know it's not healthy. Why do I keep doing it? Instead of judging myself, you know, because we always talk about how judgments are not helpful, like just trying to understand what is causing this, and like, okay, well, there's a need there that can be met. You know, I'm feeling the need to kind of soothe myself or calm myself down. So I tried replacing it. I took a bath, lit some candles, put music on.
That sounds so much nicer than mindlessly scrolling Instagram. Oh
my gosh. Yeah. And that completely changed the moment. It was like, after I'm scrolling, I'm still kind of in a weird mood. You know, it doesn't really.
Maybe even in a worse mood, because you see something that, makes you unhappy. Wow. That sounds very effective. And I think also requires a lot of mindfulness to notice, like, okay, I have the urge to scroll Instagram. So what is that urge telling me? Mm-hmm. It's saying that I need to do something to kind of calm myself down. Okay. So what would be a more effective way to do that? Wow. I can relate to that. And I'm sure most of our listeners can too.
Yeah. And I think the one thing that I found kind of comforting about my example was that I caught myself after I was already doing the behavior. So like, that's okay too. You know, like it's okay to start engaging in the behavior that maybe isn't as effective. And then again, it's mindfulness. Just as long as you notice it, that's what we're going for.
Yeah. I love that. That's a really helpful reminder.
Maybe we can transition into talking about the skill for this week, because I think we're both very excited to teach this skill. It's super fundamental to DBT and one that is pretty complicated and challenging and also very important.
Yeah, I will be honest. I'm a little nervous to teach this skill. I think I always, you know, I've felt that way teaching it in groups. And teaching it on a podcast, you know, presents its own set of challenges. And I think I'm nervous because of how much I have come to love this skill and how important I think it is. And I, like Molly, really want to do it justice. So it's kind of a good nervous energy. And we hope that, you know, you'll get as much out of this as we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's exactly why we're going to spend the whole episode today just talking to you about what this skill is, the skill of radical acceptance, and how it might be helpful to you in your life in a variety of different ways. And then next week, we're going to get into how to actually put this skill into practice. But we just wanted to really introduce the skill fully in this episode, and then we'll get to how to practice it next week.
Yeah. And just like a couple weeks ago when we taught TIP the night before, or the night of election day. This week we're recording the night before US Thanksgiving. And it really kind of feels appropriate again, because of having to accept how different the holidays are going to be this year for us and likely so many of you. And I think that's a good example of radical acceptance can be applied to many, many different situations, the most painful things in life, things that aren't quite as painful, but still cause some pain. So, you know, it's just, it's kind of a, feels like a good one to be practicing at this moment when things are really difficult and not how we would like them to be.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's when this skill is the most helpful. And I think a lot of people struggle. A lot of our clients, you know, that we work with struggle around the holidays, even in non-COVID times, you know, struggling with family dynamics, falling back into whatever role you kind of are in your family when you go back and see them, or even if you're doing a Zoom thing, like bringing up all these feelings. And so, this skill is going to be a good one to keep in mind throughout the whole holiday season.
Yeah.
And beyond.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start out by defining what radical acceptance is. Maybe you've heard of it if you have prior familiarity with DBT. In a sentence, it is the willingness to sit with and make space for the most painful things in life, or just anything that's painful in life, without trying to change them in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So sometimes people have a little bit of a reaction to the word acceptance. And so you can replace that with the word acknowledgement or willingness.
Willingness, yeah.
So we'll talk more about this throughout the episode, but it's one of those skills that can be kind of interesting how acceptance and change can be related to one another, which is a really, really big dialectic in DBT, acceptance and change. And what we often see is that when there's acceptance, it creates an opportunity for change. So the two really go hand in hand.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite parts about this skill. Mm-hmm. So before we talk about what radical acceptance is, or continue to talk about that, let's talk about what it is not, because it is not a lot of things that I think people sometimes feel strongly when they first hear it. So just to kind of put it on the table, radical acceptance is not condoning of reality, approving of reality, liking reality, or being passive or against change. Mm-hmm. So it is not saying you got to be okay with what's going on, you got to just get over it, any of those things. That is not what it is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the word acceptance, and I know I had this reaction to it when I first learned this skill, I thought acceptance meant like throwing my hands up and saying like, well, this is just the way it is. So I got to live with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny. The expression, it is what it is. I know for some people that's really helpful. Like I've heard people that we've worked with say, oh, it is what it is. I'm starting to internalize that message and it's really helpful for me. Whereas, you know, for other people, it might be more reflective of what you were saying, where it's like, well, it is what it is. I guess there's nothing I can do about it. Mm-hmm. And that is not what we want you to take away from this. There is something you can do about it once you've accepted what the reality, or once you've acknowledged what the reality is.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes you may decide, I don't want to do anything about it. Accepting it created that change that I needed inside myself. It freed me up a little bit and, you know, made me feel a little bit more at peace inside. And on the outside, I don't need to change any behaviors or change the situation. And oftentimes people do find that the things that they're trying to accept are causing problems in life and do need some outward behavior change as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So we like the word acknowledging that things are the way they are, that this moment is what it is. And really importantly, and we'll get into this, that everything is caused.
Mm-hmm.
So why does this matter? Let's kind of get into it.
So I think one of the main reasons that this matters is that it can significantly reduce suffering, right? So this skill is for you. Like this skill is for the individual practicing the skill.
Yeah.
You know, if we think about the difference between pain and suffering, there is a difference between pain and suffering. You know, pain is really something that is inevitable, something that every human being experiences, no matter who you are or what your life is like, everyone experiences pain. Suffering is what we add on to pain. It's kind of like a layer on top of pain that comes when we don't accept the pain, or when we try to like struggle or fight against the pain. Oh, it isn't fair. People shouldn't be acting the way they are. This shouldn't have happened. Why me? Mm-hmm. All that kind of stuff creates like an extra layer of suffering on top of that original pain.
Yeah. Yeah. So like the combination of pain and non-acceptance equals suffering.
Yes.
Whereas if it's pain and acceptance, then it's just pain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So this skill will not erase pain. No skill will erase that. That's just part of life. But it can really, really help decrease that suffering piece.
Yeah.
So at this point, let's talk a little bit about, you know, maybe giving an example of how this skill can be helpful, even in dealing with some of the most painful and horrific experiences that people can have in life.
Yeah. And that's, I think, a big part of what it was intended for, kind of the worst moments of life, the most painful moments of life. So, you know, one example of that DBT gives in, you know, in its literature and storytelling is thinking about a scenario where a little kid is run over by a truck and killed. And, you know, I mean, obviously for that kid's parents, that is the worst moment of their lives. And I think most of us hearing that story could think about the fact that it would be very, very easy and tempting to not accept that that happened or acknowledge that that happened, right? That shouldn't have happened. That didn't happen. This isn't the reality that I'm living in. That didn't happen to my son.
Why did this happen?
Right.
That whole line of questioning.
Right. And it did happen because everything that led up to that moment, you know, I think in the story that is written in the book, you know, it's like the kid was killed because there wasn't a stop sign at the intersection where the kid was riding his bike. And so the truck, you know, didn't stop because there was no stop sign, because no one had put a stop sign there, which led to a collision and, you know, the kid died. And so it would be so easy for the parents to say, well, there should have been a stop sign there. This shouldn't have happened. Right. So what can we learn from this? What can we learn from this idea that ultimately it leads to reduced suffering for the parents to acknowledge the fact that this did happen, that the stop sign wasn't there, and that this is the reality?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that story does a really good job of demonstrating some of the things that we've talked about already, even of that distinction between pain and suffering, even. And that the pain and the grief of losing your child is obviously going to be there regardless. And then what's kind of added on top of that is that suffering piece, when there's that kind of non-acceptance or
fighting reality,
rejecting reality. And it's probably worth mentioning too, that like, it's a very normal thing to do, right? Like, yeah. I can't imagine anyone who would go through something like that and not have some level of non-acceptance at the beginning. You know, even if you think about like the process of grief after somebody dies, like there's a period of denial, mm-hmm. of literally rejecting reality and not even acknowledging that something that just happened even happened,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So it's a natural process that the mind goes through to try to protect from pain.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I think it almost feels invalidating to mention this now. And it is the ultimate goal of the skill that actually, by denying reality, not only are you suffering because you're just kind of at war with yourself and the reality of what happened, and that leads to just so much extra suffering, but also that there's no opportunity to kind of make any change or meaning. Mm. So the reason that, you know, we brought up the stop sign is because, well, maybe there's an opportunity to put a stop sign there to advocate for, you know, getting the town to do something about it so that this never happens again. Mm. And there's no opportunity to do that if the reality of what happened continues to be denied.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that also aligns with that this really critical piece of radical acceptance is that acknowledging that everything is caused. We mentioned that a little bit earlier, and And in this situation, I think, Liza, you did a good job of describing that this was caused because there was no stop sign, because the car was driving maybe a little bit even faster than the speed limit, for example. I don't know if that was the situation, but it might have been, you know. Mm-hmm. And all of these events, like if you think about kind of like the butterfly effect almost, like everything, and this is a little bit, this skill gets a little philosophical, but it can, but it's, I find it to be really helpful at the same time of like, okay, this happened, and then this happened, and this happened, and this happened, and whether or not we think it should or shouldn't have happened, these are the things that happened, and it all led up to this moment where this accident happened, and, you know, this kid was killed, and as horrific as that is, we can acknowledge that this was caused, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't know the cause. Like sometimes in this case, you know, we do know the cause, but in a lot of situations, we don't have that luxury of knowing why something was caused, right? Yeah. But just accepting that there is a cause can sometimes be a really helpful part of applying the skill.
Right, and in the moment when you're practicing this, which we'll talk about next week, can make you feel less overwhelmed by, you know, the worst emotion you've ever felt, I think, is that's kind of ultimately the point of this.
Yeah. I have an example that's like so not even close to this, but it was a time when radical acceptance on a very small scale was really helpful to me.
Yeah.
I remember it was my first year of doing DBT, and I had a session that I thought went really badly. And it was like one of my first clients, first sessions. And I remember coming back into our DBT room and talking to one of the more advanced clinicians. And I had said like, oh, like, I feel like I really didn't do a good job in that session. And I feel really bad about it. And she said, everything is caused.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is caused. You know, like, what year in the program are you? How many DBT clients have you had? Like,
yeah.
Kind of a day did you have before, leading up to the session that you had? Like, how could it have been any other way than the way that it was given everything that came before it?
Yeah, I love that you said that. I think that's an example of, you know, radical acceptance can be used even in not the worst moments of your life. It can still be helpful. And I will often say that to myself too, just like if I'm really feeling awful about something that just happened and it's unhelpful, like if I'm feeling shame that doesn't really fit the facts, you know, sometimes because if it does fit the facts, then yeah, maybe I'll solve the problem or do something about it. But if it's just sort of that feeling of like, oh, why did this happen? This shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
And there's nothing productive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can kind of say to yourself, well, how could it have been any other way given everything that led up to this moment?
There's like a feeling of relief that kind of comes over you when you just, it's when you accept that it couldn't have been any other way, even if you wish it were otherwise. Like, again, we can wish it were otherwise. We can wish it didn't happen the way it did.
We can hate the fact that it happened so intensely.
Yes. And still acknowledge it was caused. It couldn't have happened any other way given everything that happened before it.
Yeah. Yeah. I have an example that I think could, it's also a more intense example and not as intense as the one we started out with. Mm-hmm. That, you know, not accepting reality can really get in the way and cause further problems. Mm-hmm. So I think I've mentioned this once or twice on the podcast, but about 10 years ago, I started feeling a really, really strong pain in my neck, for which I ultimately needed surgery.
Mm-hmm.
2 years later, I got the surgery. So 2 years of having a lot of pain. And it wasn't for a while of having the pain that I really kind of acknowledged how bad it was and that I needed to do something about it.
Yeah. So you were kind of having the pain. And at the same time, were you kind of like telling yourself, like, were you just kind of ignoring the pain almost?
Yeah. Kind of ignoring it. I was like, I'm really young. It's probably nothing. You know, I'm busy. I have other things going on in my life. Like, I can't deal with this right now.
Yeah. And so I imagine you were just kind of like taking Advil when it hurt, or just kind of trying to like sleep on the other side of your body if like it was one side of your neck or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. I would kind of try to numb the pain when I could by taking Advil and, you know, just distracting myself. And ultimately I was ignoring reality. And what the reality was that I really needed to get it taken care of. So I was literally causing myself more pain by not acknowledging the reality of the moment.
Wow. What a great example of how this skill is sometimes critical to, sometimes even in a more extreme situation, it could be critical to like saving someone's life, you know, not acknowledging a health condition that could be life threatening or just very serious.
Yeah.
Can have further health consequences.
Yeah.
And I think what the story that you're sharing with us is illustrating is that like, this is the first piece of change, right? Like acceptance and change. Again, by accepting it, you were able to acknowledge this is actually happening, even though it comes with all of these, acknowledging it. I'm curious, like for you, acknowledging it probably brought up a lot of feelings, right? Like once you did have to kind of look it straight in the face.
It did bring up a lot of feelings. And I think it brought up a lot of, well, I guess before I really acknowledged it, that's that pre-acceptance step. Was kind of those like, this shouldn't, like, I'm really young, this shouldn't be happening, you know, why me? And of course, that made it so much worse, and literally just prolonged the pain. And so I think, you know, as you're saying, all right, like, this is something serious that I need to take care of, like, yeah, it brought up a ton of fear, a ton of feelings that I would have rather avoided. And you know,
yeah,
it wasn't helpful.
Right. Right. Yeah. There's a reason why we don't accept reality, right? Like, again, everything is cause, even non-acceptance is cause.
Right.
There's a reason we don't accept it because it can be so painful to accept it. And I think a lot, what people often find with this skill is that when you do accept certain things, it brings up a lot of fear, like in your case, mm-hmm. a lot of pain, like a lot of really uncomfortable emotions can come, but there are those like natural emotions that kind of are helpful to the healing process.
Yeah.
As opposed to those secondary emotions, like anger, for example, you know, where you're maybe like, why me? I'm so young. This shouldn't be happening. You know, like it's a different kind of feeling that you get probably, I would imagine, when you're kind of accepting it versus the pre-acceptance.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then I think, you know, just to kind of end this example, I think I was reflecting before this episode about sort of how acceptance can lead to meaning making, and how you can, how sort of when you stop fighting reality, you can actually make something meaningful out of what your reality is. And so for me, even though obviously the main positive outcome was the absence of pain once I got the surgery, it really made me interested and excited about working with clients who experience chronic pain and who feel, you know, invalidated by their chronic pain. Think like this is a whole area of clinical work that I feel like I can relate to these clients because of what I went through. And so it turned out to be something really kind of meaningful and productive in my life.
I love that. I bet that's true for a lot of therapists too. Mm-hmm. You know, the areas of interest that we have sometimes are personal.
Totally. And I think for so many people, like so many causes that people are passionate about, you know, it's because of maybe the kind of the worst things they've been through. And that's really unfortunate and sad and true, you know, and something that it makes sense, like why people really get behind these causes that are so personally meaningful to them because of what they've been through.
Right. Maybe we can talk a little bit about like what has to be accepted, because I'm thinking even with that example, like there's a way that acceptance can be taken maybe a little too far sometimes. Like if you were to accept like, I'm going to be in pain for the rest of my life, you know, I'm never going to recover from this. Like, you know, I'm never going to get those 2 years back. Like I think it's important to say that what needs to be accepted if you are to practice the skill is reality as it is in this moment. Not future possibilities that may or may not be the case.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that. I think a lot of people can hear this and think like, okay, well, I don't like my relationship with this person. You know, it is what it is. I guess I got to accept the reality. And it's like, no, there's actually a very clear distinction, which is the reality is that up to this point, your relationship isn't going the way that you want it to. Mm-hmm. Or in this moment, your relationship isn't going the way you want it to. And it's sad. And you might feel sad about that, you know, and that doesn't mean that you have to resign yourself to staying in this relationship that's not making you happy.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. So accepting just reality as it is, accepting, sometimes there are some things, I guess, about the future that can be accepted when you can be fairly certain that they are the case. Like some predictions about the future you can kind of make, like, you know, I'm 5 feet tall. I'm not going to be a basketball player.
Yeah, right.
So, right. Certain things like that, like that there are limitations on the future for everyone, but we really only have to accept the realistic and very, 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 very likely limitations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, so reality as it is in this moment needs to be accepted. We talked about the fact that everything has a cause. And then, you know, and that needs to be accepted, that everything is caused, every behavior is caused, every event is caused. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then finally that, and really importantly, that life can be worth living even when there's pain.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's a huge part of this as well.
Yeah. So even like for me, with my example, with my neck, like I had 2 years of chronic pain and I still had, you know, I still lived those 2 years and had a lot of joy and a lot of meaningful experiences. And, you know, even while that pain was going on.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us, like if we think about, you know, COVID and what this has been like for a lot of people right now, you know, this is it's a good example because it's something that everyone can relate to. Whatever your experiences are, you've been in some way affected by this. And there's a lot of I've heard a lot of talk about radical acceptance around this being our reality right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's just kind of talk about for us what that's looked like. Like, I think it would be kind of interesting to talk to our listeners about like what we think like tangibly changed about our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, once we sort of accepted the reality of the pandemic. And by the way, I shouldn't phrase it like that because I'm not going to pretend like I've fully accepted that this is our reality. It is a process. Some moments I accept that it's happening and other moments I totally don't accept it. Yeah, so
I love that you said that.
Yeah.
I'm really glad you said that because we haven't said that yet, that this is like, it's not, this skill is not like a one and done. Like I dunk my face in a bowl of water and I'm good to go. Like, mm-hmm. No, it's a process.
Right. Right. Yeah. The examples we've given so far, we're not saying that the goal is for those parents who we talked about, or, you know, even with my neck, like that it's okay. Well, I wasn't accepting it. Now I've accepted it. So now I'm not suffering anymore. Like, of course not. There's going to be many moments throughout life of non-acceptance about this reality.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For me, I know that like, before I had begun to work on the process, I'll phrase it like that, of mm-hmm. accepting this pandemic, I would get really frustrated when anyone would say the new normal, that this is normal. I would be like, too. Oh my gosh, like, stop saying that. This is not the new normal. This is not my life. This is not going to continue. Everyone needs to calm down. Mm-hmm. Like, it brought up a lot of feelings of anger.
Yeah, I so agree with that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, it's almost like when you don't accept something, you can kind of know that you're not accepting something by maybe like if you're feeling a lot of anger or frustration, or if you're having a lot of thoughts like, why is this happening? This shouldn't be happening. Mm-hmm. Those are all like cues to yourself. Like, okay, maybe I'm not really accepting something right now that could be helpful to work on accepting.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and I just want to say within the pandemic, like obviously there is a huge scale of things that people have had to acknowledge as their reality, you know, so, I mean, too much suffering and pain for words to describe for some people. And I also think it's important to say that, you know, radical acceptance can be applied to every situation, from having to cancel a dinner party that you were excited about happening to, you know, the worst imaginable scenario with this pandemic. So I think it's okay to say, like, a lot of this is painful. Of course, it's different scales of pain, and we can all allow ourselves to, like, work through the difficulty of all of this.
Yeah, that's really true. Yeah, I hope we're doing this skill justice by giving a variety of different examples of different kind of levels of pain that people can experience to demonstrate that it can be helpful even in the day-to-day type of stuff. And then also in, like we said earlier, some of the most painful moments of our lives.
Yeah.
So let's talk now about some other challenging things that can be really helpful to apply this skill to. Because there are some other types of experiences in life that are really tough ones. So, like, for example, I think a lot of people really struggle with accepting things that they might have done in their past that bring up lots of feelings of guilt and shame when they're reminded of what they might have done.
Yeah. Yeah. I think in working, you know, for you, like working with veterans, I'm sure this comes up.
Oh yeah. This comes up all the time, working with veterans, people who have been, you know, who have done things that maybe were like against their own moral compass, but they were put in a position where they kind of had to do something because it was their life or somebody else's. Mm-hmm. So maybe, you know, I've worked with people who have had to kill children because if they didn't kill that child, then the child was going to kill them. Yeah. It's really crazy stuff. And this is some of the stuff where it's like radical acceptance is like so hard to apply to this. But again, I like the word acknowledging here. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit better. Because and that idea that we keep returning to, that everything is caused, right? Mm-hmm. Everything is caused. And whether or not we wish it were differently or find it to be horrific that it happened the way that it did, I've seen it be really helpful for some of the people that I've worked with who have been through things like this, when they can acknowledge, like, well, here were all the factors leading up to that moment where I did that thing. And yeah, now knowing what I know now, maybe not, I would have acted differently. And in that moment, I made the best decision that I could, given the information that I had and given all of the facts and the life experiences and the training and everything that I had at that moment in time.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you walked through it in that way, really focusing on why this skill can be helpful for the most horrific, unimaginable moments in life. Because, again, the goal is to live a meaningful life, even, you know, while that reality is true. And so if that can reduce some suffering, that's the goal. That's it. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you know, on a less intense note, we've all done things to people in our lives, that we wish we hadn't done, you know, that, we've all wronged friends and family members, and, you know, we all have regrets, right? That's part of being human. And I think so often we push away the guilt and thoughts related to those, you know, transgressions. Like, we just kind of want to pretend that they didn't happen. And as we have talked about on many other episodes of this podcast, like, that doesn't work, right? Pushing away your thoughts and feelings doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And so the first step towards sort of coming to terms with what happened and apologizing if that's appropriate, or, you know, just kind of learning to move on and learn from our past mistakes or things we wish we hadn't done, is just to acknowledge that it happened in the first place. Because if we pretend it didn't happen, we can't get anywhere.
Yeah. it's a great point. And it made me think that that one thing we haven't said about the skill, we'll talk more about it next week, but when we're practicing radical acceptance, like, it's kind of like accepting something with your body, mind, and soul is how Marshall Linehan describes it.
Yeah.
And so like when you describe like feeling that guilt and the shame, for example, maybe feelings that are really uncomfortable to feel and you don't want to feel, part of the process of accepting it might be just kind of allowing those feelings to be there and knowing that they might show up if you do kind of acknowledge the reality of what happened.
Yeah.
And just allowing that, again, accepting not only the memories or the experiences, but also the feelings that are showing up in the moment.
Yeah, I think this kind of leads into the next area, which is accepting other people's behaviors. Mm-hmm. Because I know that when I'm not accepting or acknowledging other people and how they're acting, it like can cause such a physical reaction in me. Like if there's someone that I'm, you know, in the past have worked for or something like that, where I think like they shouldn't be doing this. They shouldn't be talking to me this way. They shouldn't be acting this way. It's just so physically uncomfortable to be kind of having those thoughts. And like, so just, I mean, obviously it causes feelings of anger, but also like just that discomfort with like, I can't believe this is happening. Like, this shouldn't be happening. Yeah. When actually, if you think about the true meaning of radical acceptance, it should be happening because it couldn't be any other way, right? This person, everything about their life, every moment in their life has led up to this moment. So it actually should be happening because no other thing could be happening.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, it's such, I find that to be such a helpful way of thinking about things.
Yeah.
You know, that reframe of like, it shouldn't be happening to actually, it couldn't happen any other way.
Yeah. 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 And really challenging and a long process to get there.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. This, you know, I think actually that's an important thing to say, that, you know, this telling people to accept or acknowledge other people's behaviors and that everything is caused can lead to a lot of negative reactions. You know, it can make people, particularly people who have been so wronged, abused, you know, you name it, saying like, well, you're telling me to just accept that this happened to me or that this person did this. Yeah, it can lead to so much, it can lead to a lot of negative reactions. And remember, the goal is to help you, not the other person, right? The goal is to help you reduce your suffering.
Yeah. Your anger, all of that. Yeah. And I'm, you know, I can share, you know, something personal about my life when I've really applied this skill to my personal life in a way that has really helped me let go of a lot of suffering. Still there's pain, but kind of let go of some of that suffering and live a more meaningful life. I think I mentioned in episode one of this podcast that that I've had a challenging relationship with my dad and that, you know, he, again, like everything is caused. He had his whole life, his whole set of experiences that led up to the moment that he became my dad. And he came to that role with a lifetime of experiences that made him act in ways that I felt were abusive, you know? Mm-hmm. And so there was, you know, a long time in my life where I didn't accept that he was the way that he was, you know? And
what did that look like not accepting that he was who he was?
It looked like wishing that it were different, or thinking that maybe if only I could do X, Y, or Z, maybe he would treat me differently, or we would have a better relationship. Maybe I'm not doing enough. It looked like sometimes feeling some envy about people who did have, you know, dads that they had good relationships with.
Of course, yeah.
And so like, you know, and it even looked like, you know, trying to make this relationship work with this person that just really wasn't capable of giving me what I was looking for.
And I'm sure that caused a lot more suffering for you. Yeah.
It absolutely did. And a lot of invalidation.
Yeah.
And so the process of accepting this has been really helpful for me because it has allowed me to move forward in my life and to kind of say like, okay, like this, you know, this person up to this point has acted in the ways that they have acted and I've responded in the best ways that I could possibly, and it still hasn't worked out. And I like, and for me, accepting that meant accepting that, okay, like I'm accepting that I might not have the type of relationship with my dad that I wanted, for example.
Right. You can still wish it were different while still acknowledging that it is what it is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so like, and again, like all of those things that you asked me before of like, what did not accepting it look like those types of things kind of went away. You know, stop trying to make this relationship work. I don't feel anger anymore. You know, I did for a while, but I don't anymore. And again, like this is a process and I've been working on it for a while. So I'm maybe a little bit further along now. But yeah, I think part of the reason that I bring this example up is because I want to highlight that acceptance it can be a very painful process.
Yeah. I mean, it almost feels like there needs to be a grief period of kind of what you hoped and what the relationship could have been. And I think, yeah, grief is really the word that's coming to mind for me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's hard to accept any type of thing like this in your life without grieving it. Again, acknowledging, like, it's like a death, you know, denial maybe at the beginning. And then eventually you kind of come around and start to acknowledge, okay, this is the situation. This is the reality. And there's a feeling of grief and sadness that you kind of have to allow yourself to feel in order to move forward. But a lot of peace and a lot of
and wisdom. I mean, clearly just from the way you spoke about it that you've gained.
And it's a huge part of, again, like what made me want to be a therapist, you know? Yeah. And you talked before about kind of making meaning from some of the, you know, horrible things that have happened to us. And I think these experiences help me be a better therapist. You know, they give me more empathy, more compassion, more understanding for people who've had similar experiences.
Of course.
All those kinds of things. So again, like a lot of like that change piece can kind of come out of it too, or meaning making on the other end.
Yeah. And like the kind of building a life worth living is basically what you just said, right? That you've turned it into your, you know, or parts of it have helped you build your professional identity and the way that you relate with, you know, with the people that you work with. So, yeah, I think that's so powerful. Thank you for sharing. We hope that the examples we just gave kind of helped you understand like the full process of radical acceptance in a helpful way. And again, remember that it's not just something that happens once. It's something that needs to be, you know, reality is something that needs to be acknowledged and accepted over and over and over again. And it's not a straight line, right? Mm-hmm. You can accept something, then not accept it, then go back to accepting it again. So, you know, we just want to say that we spent all of today introducing this skill, kind of what it is, why it matters, because it's one that often brings up a lot of questions and concerns. It does, right? There's, you know, you may be having your own reactions as you're listening to this. Mm-hmm. And it's a fundamental part of DBT and something that has been really helpful to both of us, as well as many people that we work with. We do want to point out, though, that, you know, this is a podcast format. If we were in person, we would be able to address your thoughts and questions and concerns. And we can't do that here. So we did try to anticipate some of what those concerns might be. And we hope we did it justice. So, however, that doesn't mean that this conversation needs to be over. In fact, you know, we'd love to dive deeper into this in season two. So if you find that you're having a burning question or concern about this, please email us and we can dive deeper.
Yeah, we did a lot of thinking about like what questions and comments and concerns might people be having based on the experiences that we've had teaching this skill in group. And so like Liza said, please feel free to reach out to us, therapistsinthewild@gmail.com. We always want to hear your thoughts, and we can do a deeper dive in season two, potentially, if there is enough interest in learning more about the skill. And like we said earlier, today was about teaching what radical acceptance is. Next week, we're going to get into some really great skills that will help you figure out how to actually practice this, because it can be a little abstract, philosophical, like kind of.
Yeah, I didn't get it for a while at all, and I'm still having new discoveries about it. Like, even during this episode, I had moments where I was like, oh yeah, that's why this matters. So yeah. You know, it can be challenging, and if you're feeling confused after listening to this, that's okay. You know, maybe sit on it for a few days. You can always listen again, or you can, you know, do some of your own exploring into what this concept means.
Yes, for sure. If you have the DBT skills workbook, you can look through the worksheets, and it kind of takes you through step by step how to practice the skill. Mm-hmm. Again, we'll get to that next week as well. Or there are some meditations online that can allow you to practice this in more of like a meditation format. Mm-hmm. And I believe Tara Brach has some meditations on YouTube or maybe on her website that can help guide you through practicing this in that type of format if you're interested in that as well.
It's a great idea.
So, as always, we'd love to have you follow us on social media. We are at Therapists in the Wild on Instagram and Facebook, and on Twitter, we're at Therapists Wild. Yeah. And so we hope you enjoyed this episode. We're looking forward to talking with you more about it next week. And until then, stay skillful, everyone.